Blog Talk Radio.
We don't need no music. I'm lying. We need music. We need some intro music. You know, it's funny, for the last few weeks, the Love Doctor has given me, you know, some tunes to start off the show, just some like beatboxing, which is corny. It's really corny. You know, I kind of don't like it. He's not on the air yet, so I can say that. But it's better than nothing. It's better than nothing. But right now we're back to nothing. We're back. We need some kind of it's funny. I was talking to my special guest before the show, and I'm like, yeah, you can't expect too much from people that don't get paid. And I don't have enough money to pay anybody to give me any tech support or any theme music. So if anybody wants to do it for free, then I'll have some theme music. But today on the Eric Terrell Show, we will discuss teenage fatherhood. All right, that's what we're doing today. Teenage fatherhood, young, premature paternal responsibilities. Can a teen boy be a good father? Can he do that? Should he decide to do that? I feel like most often it's by mistake or by some kind of hapless circumstance that the responsibility is placed on the young man's shoulders. But unlike some women who do it, you know, as a decision, you know what I'm saying? They want to have a kid, they'll just have a kid. Not teenage woman, but it seems like whether a man, whether teenage or whether an adult, doesn't really decide to do that. You know, it's kind of a mistake, especially considering the nature of a man. The nature isn't, oh yeah, it's time for me to have some kids, I want to have some sons. No. It's more like, it's time for me to have some sex, I want to have some sex, and whoops, look at there, I got a child, so I have to figure out exactly how I'm gonna do this. We've got things coming up. Helium Comedy Club. We'll discuss more about that next week. Also, all right, summer love is rapidly approaching. The summer is here. July is here. The love is here. 5 consecutive weeks of hot love and dating and relationships and sex topics. It's going to get real, and it's going to get good, and it's going to get funny, and it's going to get interesting and compelling. 2 weeks until summer love. Summer loving, having a blast. Happens so fast, summer love. Now, I was talking way too fast for myself just now, but here we go. this is intense, all right? We did a show, I think it was about a month ago now, called Is Premarital Pregnancy the Norm? Which is kind of the opposite of the show we're doing today, kind of the female equivalent to what we're doing today. Even though we didn't specifically focus on teen motherhood, we focused on premarital motherhood. But now, not only are we going to focus on premarital fatherhood, but we're going to focus on teen fatherhood, which is very, very intense. Now, it's hard to find statistics on teen fatherhood. I looked for about 30 minutes, and nobody really talks about teen fatherhood. There's a few articles, there's a few facts, blah, 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 all the stuff that we already know. None of it is shocking, but I will read a few of these discoveries to you right now. This comes from DoSomething.org, which is ironic that they named the website DoSomething.org. First of all, before I get into this, I meant to start the show this way, that I want to say that the show isn't about teenage black fathers, okay? My special guest is going to join us, and he has a lot to say. But the show today is about teenage fathers. I just want to say that while we do have a discrepancy and a very ugly, disparaging correlation to deadbeat dads and black men, that's not what this show is about. And partly true that, you know, that is a thing that happens mostly to black men, but it also happens a lot to white men. And one thing that I did find out when I was reading a little earlier today is that, let me see, where 60%, and this is also from DoSomething.org, 60% of fathers, black fathers who do not have custody of the child, visit or see the child. Granted, you know, this is just one visit. It doesn't mean a whole lot. But they visit the child or come pick up the child at least once a month, compared to 30% of our white paternal counterparts, which means that while it happens to black people a lot more, the black deadbeat dads do a lot more than the white deadbeat dads. I mean, granted, it could just be one visit, but this is about teenage fathers, okay? Forget about the black disparity. And also, I wanted to say that mothers can also be deadbeats, so just keep that in mind. But on DoSomething.org, what I learned is that 8 out of 10 teen dads don't marry the mother of their child. Like I said, these facts are not surprising, but they are things that we should think about. 8 out of 10 teen dads do not marry the mother of their child. Just something to think about and something to pass on to teenage females, just to so that they can continuously acknowledge the fact that their teenage partner will probably not be with them in 5 or 10 years. And if they have a baby by their teenage partner, then there's an 80% chance, 8 out of 10 probability that once he's a father, that he will not marry her, okay? Teenage love is just like summer love, okay? It happens, and then, you know what, it unhappens. You go to college. Time passes. I also found out on Do Something that teen dads are less likely to finish high school than their peers. Like I said, not surprising, but think about it. And I found out that children who don't live with their fathers are five times more likely to be poverty stricken than kids with both parents at home. Not surprising. Maybe surprising that it's five times, which is, I think, like, what, 500% more probable that they will be poverty stricken than kids without parents at home. And why is it not surprising? Because the parents are teenagers, which means that the parents have teenage jobs. you know, you can't feed but so many mouths, including your own. It's weird. I went rummaging through statistics. Usually I have like one or two. This time I have like 50, and I won't kill you guys with the statistics, but I'm going to bring my special guest on in a matter of a few seconds. But what I will do is give you this last one, because it was very interesting. It has nothing to do with the age of the father, but this is based on the U.S. Census Bureau. Information on the website of the U.S. Census Bureau that nearly 35% of fathers in the country are required to pay child support. This is a statistic that a lot of people already know, okay? But I didn't. I had no idea. 35% of fathers, extremely high in my opinion, 35% of fathers in the country. Not 35% of fathers who don't have custody or you know, who don't, I mean, 35%, you know, that aren't in a relationship with the mother. No, fathers, 35% of all the dads are required to pay child support. So you know 10 fathers, 3 of them are on child support. I didn't know. I feel like all 10 of the fathers that I knew were doing pretty well. That's what I thought. But I'm going to have a talk with all 10 of them. Because 3 of them are on child support, and then figure out, you know, why they're on child support, because I thought they were all doing so well. I don't know. But anyway, 72% of the children that are supposed to receive that child support actually do. And what that statistic means is that 28% of the children who are supposed to receive this child support do not receive the child support, which reverts back to DoSomething.org, who states that they're 5 times more likely to be poverty-stricken. So that's something to think about. If your child doesn't get child support, if your child is poverty-stricken, what is the success rate? What probability do these kids have of having standards? And when I say standards, I mean expecting that they'll go to a top-notch college, or expecting that they'll be like people who they see on TV. I mean, I don't think it's so far-fetched to mention the President of the United States. Not even him. You can look at people running for city council. I mean, these people don't come by the neighborhoods of the kids whose fathers aren't home and who are poverty-stricken. I don't know. I'm just the area is bad. The standards are bad. That's what happens when poverty is stricken. Standards are reduced. And when standards are reduced, the ceiling of success is pretty small. So these are things to think about. What I want to do right now is forget everything I just said, okay? Forget everything I just said, and I want to congratulate my special guest and congratulate my father and congratulate the President of the United States, who is the father of our country. I love that guy. Congratulations to, I don't know, my pastor, your father, all the amazing fathers that we have, all right? Because we have some amazing fathers, and I am so blessed to know exactly what an amazing father looks like. And I'm thankful that I know that, and I'm thankful that my statistically my probability of being that, having been exposed to that, is high. So I want to welcome my son into a good life whenever he gets here, and I want to welcome one of my fathers of the year, Mr. Jonathan DeCosta, onto the show. What's going on, bro?
Hey, Eric, what's going on, my brother? How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. I just talked for 13 minutes straight, and I need some water.
Thanks for having me on the show, brother. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you for being you. John is a deacon. Is a deacon and an amazing father, amazing example for a lot of us here who are in the realm of his life. Okay. Sometimes I just run out of words to use.
Oh, man.
So everything's all right? You feeling pretty?
Yeah, I feel great, man. Just came home from vacation, man. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah. You know, we would talk about your vacation, but, you know,
Father's Day is coming up. I haven't seen not one commercial for Father's Day.
Me either. It's funny because when you do see them, it's like it's not like a Mother's Day commercial either. You know, they're just like advertising some new ties at JCPenney's.
right. We don't get all the fame and glory, man. But you know, we do the best that we can, man. You know what I mean? It's just about taking care of responsibility, man. You know what I mean? There's no blueprint to this, man. You know. We saw what our fathers did. We saw what our grandfathers did. You know, some of our grandfathers raised us, which in my case, my grandfather did in my earlier part of my life. And I saw what he did, man, and I just wanted to be better than him. And he wanted me to be better than he was. Then, you know, being in a relationship with my father, you know, in my early teenage years, as we got closer, and talking to him now, you know, a father just wants his children to be better than he was, or have it better than they had it. And it's just about trying to provide that for your children, man. You know what I mean? It's not rocket science, man, because as children, your children just want your time. You know what I mean? They were brought here in this world, man, and they honestly just want your time and your love, just to know that they care. And if we had more of that, we wouldn't have half the problems that we have going on now. I mean, this is inside of your homes, inside of schools, man, inside out here on these streets. It's everywhere. You know what I mean? And the man's role is really missing in our communities.
Yeah, that's this huge paucity of fatherhood in black communities. And it's funny. I said that this related to a show that I did a month ago, which was about premarital pregnancy, and
right.
And you know, it's funny because so many women, and I mean, I'm not telling them how to think, you know, because if you want to have a child more than you want to have a husband, or more than you
wow.
want to have love, and you
wow.
feel like it's time for you to have a child, and you're like, yeah, I want to be a mother, I'm going to make this happen. And the funny thing is that most women who say that, they go about it the fun way. They don't say, oh, I'm going to adopt.
Right.
You know, they go, no, I'm gonna have a baby. I'm going to do it the way I've always dreamed of doing it. I'm gonna do it the fun way. I'm going to go out and have sex and have a baby. But, you know, and that's, I feel like that's the leading cause of not only premarital pregnancy, but premarital fatherhood, like we're talking about. And
that's true.
Right. And while it might not be a big deal, you know, to, you know, becoming a mother and making a family, what is a big deal is a child who doesn't have a father in his life. So, like you said, it's a huge gap. Now, when it comes to teenage fatherhood, what goes through the mind of a teenager? What goes through the mind of a teenager, a teenage boy, when he gets that phone call?
Well, when he gets that initial phone call, I'm pretty sure it's a shock. When I think I was when I had my oldest daughter Sierra is 16, and Jonathan he is 15, and they're about 9 months apart. So initially, I mean, I'm 30. I was about 22 or 21 when I had my first. So it was initially it was, I mean, it's kind of devastating. You know, you feel like, oh, I'm not established. You know what I mean? I'm not grounded as far as, you know, I don't have my own. I don't have, you know, a career job at this point. So how am I going to bring a life in this world that I'm supposed to take care of? Like this is my thinking. And it's like, it does at that point, it didn't matter what my situation was. What mattered was I have to do everything that I need to do to provide for this child. You know what I'm saying? So all of my things got put on the back burner. So as being not just a teen, I'm sure being as a teenager, it becomes a shock, especially if you don't have a support system. You know what I mean? A support system goes a long way. And I was blessed enough to have a great support system with my, you know, my parents, grandparents, you know, our church family, man, you know, extended family, you know what I'm saying? It was just, I was truly blessed. You know what I'm saying? I did have to put some of my personal things on hold, you know what I'm saying? But it didn't deter me from doing the things that I needed to do. You know what I mean? It may have got put on the back burner, but these are things that I've gotten done and things that I'm in the process of getting done. You know what I'm saying? But being a young teenage father, man, it's not easy. There's no blueprint to it, and with that being said, even if a teenage kid has a child in his teenage years, and maybe didn't have a father growing up, maybe his father wasn't prevalent, or maybe didn't have a positive male role model in his life, at that point, you get to a point where you can't go back to not knowing the way that you grew up. Why would you want to bring a child up the same way? Bring a child in this world and not be in this child's life. I don't care even if it's as a teenager. When we make that responsibility to lay down together with a woman and a woman with another man, you take on all that responsibility that comes with it, man. And unfortunately, well, that's one of the responsibilities. You know what I mean? When you lay down with somebody and you get her pregnant, you know, that's your responsibility at this point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's real. That's real. You definitely said it all just now. Everything else needs to go on hold, you know, and
yeah.
It's weird because some young guys get upset, and some teenage fathers to be or new teenage fathers get upset because they think, well, this wasn't my choice, like because we don't have the baby. This wasn't my choice. I didn't ask for this. You know what I mean? But and we'll get to that in a second. We've got a phone call.
Right.
We've got a phone call to take, if you don't mind.
Okay, bro. Go
ahead. Yeah. 844. Eric Terrell, Shel Kahara.
Hey,
yeah. What's going on,
girl?
What's going on? How you feeling?
I'm blessed.
What's going on?
Highly favored. Yes, I am.
We got Kahara on the line. It's John. You know Kahara. She goes to Triumph Baptist Church. Now, you.
Yes, my bro.
You got a comment, sis?
Well, you know, this generation now, I feel like it's based off of maturity. I can't say that, you know, you're too young or, you know, to have a child, because some people's mindsets are, like, totally different. And also, like, stability. Most of the people nowadays can't even take care of themselves, so let alone another life in the world. So I feel like it's more maturity and, like, stability. So that's really what I got to say about that.
Okay, most people, okay. No, that's all you need to say, maturity and stability. All right, maturity and stability. Now, you have father figures in your life, and this is something that you think shines through them, maturity and stability.
Right. And
that's what it
you
is.
You know, my dad in my life, being as though he's not my, you know, biological dad, he plays the role as my dad, meaning there for me when I need him, not even just financially, but emotionally, physically, and you just playing a part as dad, not just a man in my life. So it's just like where you know that somebody wasn't doing what they supposed to do, and you step in to fill that place, that you get that title as dad, regardless if you gave birth or not.
Amen.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, I have a few mothers, but dad just seems like something that, I mean, I look at the mothers in my life, the people who I call mother. Obviously, my biological mother is my first mother because she is by far a deadbeat mother. So she is most definitely the mother in my life. But I've had a few other mothers. And they're so happy to be my mother. And it just seems like to me that dad or father is something that, let alone biologically, I mean, even when it comes to biologically, a lot of times they aren't as ready to be that as a woman is ready to be a quote-unquote mother. But when it's not biological, it's even more so. Like, don't call me dad. You know, like that's
right.
I don't want to be even if I'm in a relationship with a woman with kids and I'm technically a stepdad. I don't really want to be that role. You know what I mean? It's tough.
Lot.
Yeah, guys don't like it. Guys don't like it.
No.
But what's up, John?
No, I was agreeing with what you said. That's all.
Yeah. Appreciate you, KK. We'll talk to you
no
soon.
No problem. All right. All right, bro.
Bet. John, it's funny when she brought up maturity because I was just going to get at. I'm flooded. I'm flooded today with numbers, and I never have had these many numbers. It's a show for numbers, though. This is a show that numbers are necessary for, and
numbers.
I probably will never have. They don't lie, and I probably won't have this many.
They don't paint the whole picture, though. They don't paint the whole picture, but they don't lie, you know.
Yeah. Especially if you're Skip Bayless, they don't paint the whole picture. But what do you think before you go? I've got I've got a number to what to the word that KK just said, that Kahara just mm-hmm. said, because and this is the last one I have. You don't have to worry about any more numbers, but 38%. 38% of parents who do not provide financial support are not providing, are not withholding the financial support because they're financially unable. But 38% of the parents who don't provide financial support don't provide it because they just choose not to provide it. So roughly 40% mm-hmm. of children who do not receive child support don't receive child support that their parent without custody actually has, but is withholding. Mm. And
right.
23%. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. You want to say?
I was going to say. See, I hear those numbers, and again, they may be true. I don't know how they go about getting these numbers, but which may be in some cases true, but it doesn't paint the whole picture. A lot may go into that as far as the two parents not getting along, and they think that okay, well, I'm just not going to give this money to her just to get at her. But ultimately, everything that all the bickering and all that, only person that is hurting is the child, you know. And everything shouldn't be about money. It's not about money. Like, we go to these courts. The only thing that courts care about is money. They don't care about you living or anything like that. They'll put your information in a computer. They'll put her information in a computer and come up with a number. And that's what you have to give her on a monthly basis. Every child needs support. Every child needs to be financially taken care of. That goes without a doubt. But it shouldn't take a court in order to tell you what your child needs. Okay, that I don't agree with. So yeah, the onus is on us black men to step up to the plate. But as far as the ones who aren't giving, a lot of times it's just because of the fact that, you know, there are things not working out with their relationship. There's a lot of bickering going on. There's a lot of this woman could be hurt. This man could be hurt. You know what I'm saying? A lot of factors go into that, which I know those statistics don't show. But again, it's just it shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be. You know what I mean? But again, it doesn't take a court to tell me that my child needs $1,000 a month. Some months my child may need $2,000 a month. Some months my child may need $50 a month. You know what I mean? And I know this is totally, it's not totally off topic, but when it comes to support and financial support, you know, whether it be the mother or whether it be the father who's getting the support for their child, maybe things should be allocated where they should have to report, you know, and say, all right, this is what's going towards my child. Because I heard you say that, you know, some kids are getting support, but the kids may not necessarily be getting it. You know what I'm saying? Parents may decide, you know what, we going to buy crab legs this month. We going to do this month. We going to do this, whatever the case is. You know what I'm saying? A lot of responsibility goes into this, man. And it's deeper than what people think. It's more than just laying down with somebody.
Yeah, that's true. Now you talked about the number not breaking it down or not saying, you know, why it is the way it is. They gave two reasons. What they said is that 23% of that 38% is when the parent without custody doesn't give the support because on claims of not receiving visitation or not having custody.
Exactly. Well,
yeah, like you said, and they also said, and this is the most shocking thing that I'll say today. They said that 13% of that number doesn't give child support because they quote unquote did not want the child.
Wow.
So that's why I said that those numbers lead back to what the word that Kahara said, which is maturity.
Mm-hmm.
So within the last minute, we got about 30 seconds left. If you got any words to sum up to sum up the show or to give to teen fathers or teen fathers-to-be or any father-to-be, let us have it, bro. Happy Father's Day.
Brother.
Let us have it.
Thank you so much, man. My thing is this. I want, first of all, to all fathers out there, if you're not in your child's life, just think about if you were that child and you the time that you needed your father, your father wasn't there for you. You know, it's just about, it doesn't take money. Everything isn't about money. It's all about time. The enjoyment my kids get out of me is going to their, being there for their basketball games, their football games, their baseball games, being at their dance recitals, you know what I mean, at graduation day. You never want to be the dad at graduation day sitting in the corner and looking like, I missed everything. You know what I'm saying? Good, bad, and different. Be there for your child. Eric, I'm proud of you, man. Keep up the good work, man. And the future is yours, brother. And the future looks great.
Thank you so much, man. I love more than anything for people who to believe in me. This is my family member right here. I love my big bro, John. That's what we got next week, okay?
Yes,
next week, we got one more show before Summer Love. Summer Love is coming up. Next week, we're talking about the importance of having white friends. That's right. How important is it to have a white friend? Next week, to lead us into Summer Love. Until then, make sure you love others, love the truth, love yourself, and love, okay? And make sure you love God, because God is love, and God did it, okay? That's what we got for you. We'll see y'all next week.